السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. In speaking about the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala mentioned Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an hudan lin-nas wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan. So Allah Ta'ala gave a very unique description of what is Ramadan, and the greatest thing of Ramadan is Qur'an. And in many lectures we have tried to explain to people that if you understand your power, that you enjoy with Qur'an. So those lectures are on the website that we have, Spiritual Lights. We all enjoy a very powerful weapon which is called Qur'an. Many of us have never taken benefit how we're supposed to from this weapon. Last night when we had a program, so we gave one, two examples. We all have heard of Musa alayhi salam in Khidr. And whoever heard the incident, the story, will like have a lot of shock and desire. And when it's mentioned that this Khidr is someone who's perhaps still alive in the world, and there are many people who got that desire, I wish I can meet Khidr. So we spoke about that a lot, but there was one point that we mentioned was that what made Khidr whoever he was, a man that was going to live for so long and was going to do so many miracles in the world, that even Musa alayhi salam, when he would visit Khidr, and in Surah Kahf Allah Tawarkala described that they went out and he did a lot of things which Musa alayhi salam said, "What are you doing?" He killed a child. He put a hole in a boat where the people had taken them for the ride for free. He put up a wall where the people had not hosted them. So this is an incident which, if you study Surah Kahf, you would have heard it. You can go and look up. It is something to read about in Surah Kahf. It's a very long incident. We will not go into that. But this issue about this man Khidr, that what made him so strong. So on Musa alayhi salam's journey, where he was told you have to meet him, he was told that the sign is when you will see something amazing happening with the fish. So the fish that they took was a fish. And the fish was a cooked fish. They had already eaten from the fish. It was dead. Half of it was already eaten from. That fish was in a basket. And when they reached a certain spot, Musa alayhi salam wanted to rest. It was at that spot that Allah Ta'ala made some water. So this water is called the water of life. In the year after, this water will be known as the Nahrul Hayat, the river of life. A person is in Jahannam, he'll be taken out, put in that water, life will come back. The whole world today is looking for something to give them that, "I want to become young again." Whatever they give don't make you young, it makes you think you're young. But after a few days, when the reality comes out, you're gone. That woman who puts makeup on when she's young, she becomes older than what she would have become had she not put it on. If that thing is not there, that mask, what they call it today, Western cosmetics. Western cosmetics, that word Western means evil. When the evil person gives you anything, it's not going to help you, it's only going to harm you. Anything. If pimples are bad, the medicine they give for pimples is even worse. The boy says, "I'm getting a pimple, I don't want the pimple." We ask why. He says, "A girl might never marry me." And then we say, "But the medicine they give for pimples is such that after the girl marries you, she might find out you're no longer a man." That's the bigger problem. You rather find the girl who wants to marry you with the pimple. The medication that is given, but what is called Western medication, Western cosmetics, nothing has ever made men young. A person, a child, is suffering from what is called the epileptic fit. It is a terrible sickness, and may Allah give all shifa, afia. But if that child ever gets that sickness, we tell the parent as quick as possible, pull your child away from the medication.
Because on the box they will write, they can create suicidal thoughts. And we saw those people who got those thoughts later. We had to talk with them. And we cannot understand why they only want to like give up in life. It can create suicidal thoughts. Where they came with the medicine to really help, the medicine of help was a bigger help. Whatever comes from Western sources, it comes with such a smile. But behind the smile is what is called, in the past they would say, the evil godmother. And she would smile and say, have one apple, that apple will be poisonous. Today we live in the era of what is 1 year of COVID. Whatever, when the sickness came in the world, we found that there was one very good company in the world that stood up. And they gave their heart. We want to help the world. We want to help Africa. We want to make sure no one dies. Whereas that very families, if you go back in history, it was their very families which caused the world wars. They wanted the whole world to be destroyed. Suddenly they made Tawbah. When they come and say, I want to help you, it means I want to help you for a few days and I want to spoil your life forever after. You will never trust anything that is given from a source which is not called Quran and Sunnah. Because we're living in an era that no one is your friend except Allah and the Deen of Allah. Everything else is out for me and it's out for you. The shaitan doesn't like us. The jinn doesn't like us. That jinn who says to the amil, I'll tell you who made jadu in that one's house. That jinn doesn't like you. So whatever he's going to say also you can't trust him. He doesn't like us. The devil hates us. And all the agents, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Sometimes from their mouth, their enmity is just slips out. Sometimes you'll hear them saying something and the world say, what did you say? They say, no, we never mean it less. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. What they're hiding in their heart is even worse. Whenever they give anything, even if it is called Western soap, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimullah, at that time they asked him, can we use soap? He said, you're asking me halal and haram, that's one masala, halal. He says, let me give you one advice, don't ever use soap on your face. He said, you're asking me halal, haram, halal. You're asking me, must I use that? He said, please don't put it on your face. What made him say that? Who knows? But you ask a person, what is the need to put soap on the face? Those that never put, never needed. And those that started putting, always needed. We saw one family I went to, the boy was shining. I said, mashallah, you look like an angel. And I asked him, that has your father put Vaseline on for you? So he laughed, it was Vaseline. I knew it was Vaseline. So I just said that I had seen that young child whose father put on Vaseline and made him shine. And I also saw the day when the acne came. So the father couldn't like link up what is the Vaseline to do with acne. So we just typed something. And they said, you know, petroleum, jelly, Vaseline got different types. You have to make sure if you want to put it on your body, you got the right type. If it is a little bit fake. Whatever story they got, they always try to say, you know what, we are bari, like we are innocent. If something happens to you, you take the risk. Have you ever seen medication? The doctor, when he gives it to you, we normally just read Bismillah, that, oh Allah, only you protect. But sometimes if you open that box and you read the side effects, you will wonder, how could he even sell that thing to me? They immediately say, Ana bari, I got nothing to do with you, here's your death. Take it. Whenever we speak about that word Western in today's, it was never always like that. There was a time when Iraq was the center of evil, Iraq. Whatever came from Iraq was devilish. Whatever. Then Islam broke through that empire. There were certain devilish countries always in the world. Babylon, the center of Iraq, whatever came. There was a time when the Roman Empire had it all. Whatever came from it, you couldn't trust it. We are living in a time today where the West, that name West means when we speak now, it was Russia, but Russia is now going underground, or they have gone quiet for a while. There was a time when it was the United Kingdom. You couldn't trust anything they did, anything. Whichever country they went, whether they went to India, whether they went to Pakistan, whether they came to South Africa, they came with a smile. They stole what they wanted to steal. They tried to make everyone's religion their religion. And only when they were getting a hiding, they said, let's run. And after they ran, they even made the country thank them for giving them independence. As though I never do anything to you. But when man studies what they did, the amount of oppression, the amount of killing, and he said, whatever they brought, they never brought to help, they brought to destroy. Whatever they brought, whether it was Russia, the United Kingdom, and then was the small years, 100 years of America, United States of America. They took up the name United Nations, we will see to the world. The United Nations said we will make sure war doesn't take place in the world. But after they started, they made sure that they are never attacked by the world. But Muslim countries would be attacked like anything. And whenever the Muslim was winning, Bosnia, now it opened up. Now people are visiting. It's a place to visit. Those who went, they said it's like a garden of paradise, Bosnia. But at that time when that war took place, now if you go, those that went and saw, there's that museum, and there's a Kabristan with so many graves. You just see the whiteboard, maybe about 5,000. Who were martyred when that battle was taking place. And one point that they mentioned was, those soldiers, Muslim soldiers, they managed to dig underground. While the enemy was shooting and blasting, and they were getting their weapons from this very same people who said, no one must make war in the world. These soldiers, they dug underground. With an underground tunnel, they managed to get weapons coming back into that town. They began fighting from inside. They made a miracle. When they began fighting back, and there was a fear that the enemy now will be pushed, that's only when the United Nations jumped in and said, we can't have this war. Stop the war. And then they said, we made peace. But when history is seen, it will see they only enter when they're getting a hiding. You can never trust the devil. No matter how he smiles, when COVID came in the world, and the vaccination came in the world, and the leaders in the entire thing is not us. We have to take instructions from somebody else. That somebody else you can never trust. You can't trust his calculations because he always lied. We heard the story of the boy who cried wolf. Even the day he spoke the truth, the people said, I gave up on you. This is a nation that will never speak the truth. They'll never speak the truth. Their numbers will always be lies. Their professors will lie. When Darwin's theory was promoted in the world, the universities of the world spoke about it. In recent time, because those professors now of that time, master professors, are now in their grave or almost in their grave. Now they are writing that the theory which I taught my entire life, I never believed it one day. He says, but before today, I could never say it because I enjoyed perks. I enjoyed this, I enjoyed that. But they like to make their name known. So before I die, I'll tell the truth. I never believed it from day one. When a lie has to be spoken, the world saw it. Perhaps, I don't know how much history you know, there was something called the Crusades. Once upon a time, from the lands of Europe, From every side they fell onto Al-Aqsa and the land of Sham. And they took over everything. 400 years, then Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi Rahimullah came and he pushed them out. So today they write about what started the Crusades. They say it's called an international lie. Today they themselves teach it. They themselves teach it today. That the entire Crusades started with a lie. They have to teach it today. After so many years, they say when Pope so and so stood on that one date and he made an announcement that the caravans on the way to Constantinople are regularly being attacked and the holy Sepulcher has been taken away and so many of our Christian brethren going to the holy lands have been killed. And the holy Sepulcher is now crying, who will stand up to protect me? He said that entire thing was a lie. No caravan was attacked. Nothing was stolen. Life was carried on normal. That is why the people, the Muslims of Al-Aqsa, they never even have soldiers. When they saw the Christians coming, they asked them, what are you all here for? Then the whole story changed in Europe. They said, England and Europe is too small. Those are big lands. First it started, it's a holy war. Then the holy war was forgotten. Then they said, whoever will go on this war, every sin of his will be forgiven. Then they said, if you go on this war, you become a lord. Everything was a lie. One lie. But the biggest part was when the Pope announced it, they write from every church, the announcement was repeated. So the question comes that why did all the churches repeat the same announcement? That they don't answer, that we will answer. That before the call came for the Crusades, they had made 100 years of effort to ensure that in every church was their man. A Jew had become the main pope. A Jew was the head of every church. So the day that came, two announcements was going to be made. That was one, which the world could never understand, that why did you all go to Al-Aqsa to take over, where until that day, Christians were allowed to the lands of Al-Aqsa. They were not stopped. The second biggest mystery in the world, Jews and Christians are not supposed to see eye to eye. Because according to the Christian, the Jew killed their God. Jesus is their God according to God. And the Jew happily says, I killed your God. I killed Jesus. And I'm still happy about it. These two are supposed to fight till Qiyamah. But a certain time came in history that every church agreed that we'll have to learn to forgive our Jewish brother. So you go up to him and says, you know, you killed my God. Hey. But old times are old times, no problem, you my friends. Will the world ever do that? But they did it. The church had to be taken over in such a manner that the leader of every church had to be their boy. For all of them to unite and say, we now forgive the Christian, they did that. When the theory of Darwin was taught in the world, it made no sense. Up till today it makes no sense. No one would have been happy to say, I come from a monkey. I come from something more uglier than a monkey. No one would have been happy. But the professors of every university said it. It means before the statement, 50 or 100 years effort was made so that they will all say one same sentence. In today's time, if someone says, but all the professors have said that this is the way forward, we will say not all. A few whose voice is pushed in the world. But those few work had to take place on them to prepare them for this year. This was off the topic. What I'm trying to say is, the Ahadith spoke to us as we go in the future. We will enter amongst the signs of Qiyamah, is when the truthful will be regarded as a liar. And the liar will be seen as the most truthful. When people ask sign of Qiyamah, how close we are to the hour, so then you have to find that sign. If it's not now and you all say that at the moment the world is speaking the truth, then be happy that the Mahdi is not coming soon, Dajjal is not coming soon, Qiyamah is not coming soon. We haven't yet found the time. But if you want to see, and you will then see the lies, and then you will say, Amen, in the era where the truthful is regarded as the liar, and whatever he says, they brush him off, don't come with your conspiracy theory. And the liar is regarded as the ultimate truth, that what I say cannot be questioned, cannot be asked. You can't even lift up your finger and say, but one thing doesn't make sense. One thing. Everyone is just shut. Anyone who questions is brought down. And it will get worse. One unique dua was taught, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa. That, O Allah, show us the truth as the truth. Meaning there is something called the truth, but many will be blind from the truth. And it's not going to end today. It was what lies that world war started. Pearl Harbor was never the truth. It was what lies that the war on terror 9/11 started. It was what lies that this ISIS threat came in the world. It was an entire lie, made up. It is what lies that so much has happened. It's what lies a lot is going to happen. But after we were bitten, a believer must never be bitten from the same hole two times. When we will see the world, so this went off, I was speaking about Nahrul Hayat, the river of life, that fish touch that water. Besides that water, there is nothing they can give us to keep us young. So if you see those cosmetics, stay younger, it's a lie, you're not going to stay younger. You have been told you want to dye your beard, you look young, but you can't get younger. There is no medicine that makes you 50 years younger. It will make you feel 50 years younger and 3 days later it'll put you in your grave. Don't fall for lies. On a big picture that you see attraction, you see pictures, and you say, I want that life, there is no life. It looks so smart on the outside. Ask anyone who went on the inside. Perhaps you have visited, we have visited. One person came by Hazrat Shah Maulana Mazhar, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib's son. He was a very famous man at that time in Pakistan. Perhaps an actor he was, whatever he was, he came with his limousine. And then he went into the Khanka, and then everyone like say, you know who that guy is? So he went, they went in the room, then after a while they came out, he jumped in his car and he went away. So Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatu, said to the people, I'm sure your eyes are big now. And he said, hey, that billionaire came to the Khanka, so he came with one big, like parcel, sadaqah, lillah, something, hadiah, big. He said, he came for taweez. He came for taweez. Taweez for what? He wants to sleep. He can't fall asleep. He never come to give, he came to take. He said, that man in that life can't get what a man on the street who got nothing can get. He can't sleep. If you go behind that picture, you will understand what I'm saying. This entire world is a lie. And if you don't understand the lie, we fear and we are heading in that direction. That there is so much of adverts today, that people are believing the adverts. Immediately they purchase it. Immediately they buy it. One is the lie that the world should be like this, and so many went and they found behind it was Jahannam. One is a lie about marriage. That when you ask a boy, in the past some youngsters would come and say to us, you want advice, I'm going to get married. So now Alhamdulillah it started again, but for a while, boys, I think maybe after they heard the bayan, they are now eating my head up to find out about the first night. But for a while a boy would say it like this, that I already know the first night. I don't need to know.
So when you will ask him, how you know it?
He said, on the internet you see it all.
So there was one nikah that we went for, and I mentioned this here, and some parents came and they said that was the reason. What it was, it's not a place to speak the masjid, but we're living in this world, pornography. Pornography and that filthy dark web that you hear about. And sometimes you say, I also want to see it, or I'm seeing it. And that young boy will say, what's wrong with looking? So the problem with looking is you created or you brought into a world of fantasy. I don't know if you know, when you were young, perhaps there was a cartoon, Superman. But sometimes, it never happened in all the houses, but there was that one child who thought he's Superman. And he decided to see if I can fly, and he broke his neck. When that boy watches pornography, or that girl, amazing the world we are, Allah save all our children. When we heard of addicts to pornography, boys, then we heard of addicts to pornography, girls. Then we heard of an addiction to that pornography, which is boys to boys, girls to girls. It never ends. But what happened when the person saw pornography? It created in his mind such a picture of the first night. Such a picture. Whereas what they showed on that day is not true. It's not true. It can't be true. If that person is acting and is really doing it, then only drugs can create that. But majority of the time it's used with side effects. Whatever pictures you're seeing cannot happen. Even the monkeys can't do that. But the person sees it and he believes it. And then he marries a girl who's so shy on the first night. She's filled with modesty. And then she sees a man coming who she regarded as, he's a pious boy, he's in the masjid. And on that first night, he wants to see what was up till now giving him satisfaction. So he says to his wife that you'll have to live that life. And she can't do it. And then the next week the boy comes and he says, I get no satisfaction out of marriage. There was nothing wrong with the girl. But because one picture was brought in his mind which was not true, this boy will only find happiness with prostitutes. Only with prostitutes. This is the lie. If you are going to see the lie, you will have to suffer the lie. They will tell you, why don't you put on this on your face? Immediately we will say, hold on. Every cream must not go on my face. Every ingredient must be looked at. I cannot trust their ingredients. I cannot trust their every chocolate. I cannot trust their every picture. I cannot trust what they show. The pictures that they show does not have any reality. An era where the liar will be regarded as the most truthful. In that era, when we look at everything, you have to have your insight saying, nothing but a lie. Nothing but a lie. Nothing but a lie. Only that one. So it went off the topic. The topic was that fish came, and it touched that water of life, and the fish came alive. And that fish, although half of it was eaten, life came in it, it jumped in the basket, it jumped out into the waters. Then Allah made the waters become like a tunnel for it. Yusha, alayhi salam, at that time he wasn't a Nabi, he was going to become a Nabi, was shocked. Later on he told Musa, alayhi salam, you know what I saw? They came back, they saw it. That fish got life. And after getting life, it was dead already. With that water, life came. After life, it put itself out of the prison. The basket was its prison. Although it's dead, it couldn't get out. It got so much life, it knocked it off the lid and it jumped. Then that fish, normally, it's already cut in half. So even if it's alive, that masala that was on it now will start spreading. And another Indian fish will come and say, I like you. But Allah made a tunnel around it now. That now you are untouchable, go wherever you want to go. No other fish will catch you, no fisherman will catch you. And that fish, if it is true, there was a mufassir of this era. This fish went in that time in the era of Musa alayhi salam. There was an old commentator of Quran in this era, meaning in this ummah. So maybe you will say about 900, 1000, whatever it is, years after the fish went in the water. He wrote in his tafsir, Allah gave me the chance to see this fish. And it was still in half. That half was still half, still alive, moving in the world. The question was that Surah Kahf made special mention of this fish. And Surah Kahf got to do with an era where everything will be difficult. Everything will be a trial. Everything will be a tribulation. So every verse of Surah Kahf gives lessons for this era. One lesson that's taken from this fish was, even if you dead, and even if you half cut, and even if masala, spices have been pushed on you, meaning even if you spiritually dead, even if you have made mistakes that the whole world will never forget, you will say, I'm scarred for life. I got the masala. Even if your heart has been broken or you have broken hearts, if that one fish could have one sip from the water of life, after which without getting a full body, life came in it, with this masala on it, it was still able to become the most unique fish of the era. If me and you can connect to what is called divine spiritual water from Allah, we don't have to look for that one. Allah is the creator of all life. If I'm dead and I'm cut and I'm scarred for life, everyone around says, I know him, I'll never forget him. That individual, if he lifts up his hands and he connects, he will find his dead heart coming alive. He will find what was the scar yesterday becomes the honor today. He will find that the one who hated him yesterday is making salam to him today. He will find if he was a murderer yesterday, he is giving life today. All he has to do is become the fish that connects with water. Now how to get that water? So in this verse, Allah Tabarakallah mentions two things for the month of Ramadan. One is Quran, and that's what we spoke about in the recent few lectures. You will not understand the power of it until you read it. But don't just read it for sawab. That sawab is going to come in amounts you cannot imagine. But mine and your nature is, when we hear the word sawab, we think of the dead man. That when he dies, I'll make one khatam. But after that khatam, now nobody else died, so no problem. Quran is for the living more than for the dead. For the dead, it takes them where they are, higher and higher and higher. For the living where they are, it takes them higher, higher, higher. Quran is our shield. Quran is our miracle. Quran is our power. Quran is our cleanser. Quran protects a man from all sides. When that fish went in the water, a tunnel was created around it. Although fish lives in water, but in the water made a tunnel. This fish is now not in water, it's in the tunnel made of water. Me and you need that tunnel. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he spoke of the power of Surah Kahf, he spoke about someone who will read the surah, Allah will create light around his body. That light is my tunnel, your tunnel. When I enter that tunnel now, wherever I move in the world, I'm the fish. I'm a dead fish, I'm a cut fish, but I'm in a spiritual tunnel. Now I'm untouchable. When I read Quran, I must read it for my protection. I must read it to give life to my dead body. I must read it to link me up to you, O Allah. How much must I read? Some days I read lot, some days I read little, but I'll never stop reading. What must I read? I must read from the beginning, carry on till the end. I must make my marker. It's a journey to make a khatam of Quran. It is not only for the hafiz. If I cannot read Quran, then my journey can take me 1 year, 2 years, 3 years.
But during that journey, every alif that I read is wiping out poison and it's surrounding me with light. Every ba that I read, every ta that I read, Quran was for the living more than for the dead. That was one mention in this verse. And then at the middle of the verse where Allah Ta'ala speaks about Ramadan, this was what I wanted to speak about, so we will try about 15 minutes to discuss this. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That in Ramadan, one is the ibadat of Quran. The second ibadah, which perhaps majority today have become negligent of, is called dua. Now why is dua left? And why it was not supposed to be left? Perhaps you would have heard those narrations, dua is the shield of a believer. What's a shield? A shield is a problem is coming, dua is the shield, it blocks the problem away. So first let's see, why don't we make dua? Normally I will make dua, as example, my leg is paining. So I lift up my hand and say, Allah, let it not be something serious, let it not be something serious, let it not be something serious. And then I go to the doctor and he tells me it's something very serious. So the next day, am I going to make the dua, Allah, let it not be serious, let it not be serious. I'm not going to make the dua, then he gave up. Why I gave up? Because what I was asking for, I never saw. So I thought that since I never saw what I wanted, my dua never give anything. If man could understand what his dua is giving, he will never stop asking. It's giving lot. Only it doesn't always give how I want it to be given. There is this world and there is the year after. In the year after, as you want it, it will come. In the year after, mercy comes in the surat, the picture of mercy. In the year after, a pretty girl means pretty. And a snake means a snake. In this world, a pretty girl could be the snake. She could be the snake. This world is not the truth. What you see in this world, 99% of the time, the reality is the opposite. So if you never saw what your dua was, it must never mean your dua never did something. Just because what you were looking for never happened. Let's explain why. We are in a world that everyone is allowed to make dua. So let us say, I'm making dua. And as soon as I say, oh Allah, I want a car. If that car has to come, the world will become Muslim for the car. They will say, the ta'weez you got, how can I get it? You say, read kalima. Then there will be no exam. That, okay, you will not understand. Let me give you another example. This one, everyone understands. This uncle now, after reaching the age of 50, 55, 60, he looked at his wife and she is now 57, 58, and now every beauty is now gone or going. So he came to search for a takeoff and he's making one dua, Allah make her younger, Allah make her younger, Allah make her younger. So let's just say what he wanted happens. And after Ramadan, he goes home and he says, Eid. He says, Eid, this, I mean, where did she pitch up? Hazrat Maulana would normally mention this waqia, he says, the man in the village, when he came the first time to the city, it was called the city. He had never seen the city. So what we call the lift, elevator, that was something he had never seen. He was with his son. So in front of that elevator, that auntie pressed the button and the thing opens. And the auntie, big size auntie, small basket, big size auntie, she entered, she turned around. She, and then he saw the doors closing. So he never know what it is. Perhaps he thought it's a monster that has to eat one auntie every few years. So he ran and he began banging, 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 trying to open, open, open. But the lift elevator is going to go upstairs and he's going to come down. So it just happened, it went up, she went out, one young, tall, nice, she came in. So as he said, open, 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 it opens. He went, so his mind now is working, she went in big, she came out small. Immediately he turned to his son, he said, go bring money right now. This is that machine. So imagine he goes eat and he saw his dua was accepted. And he sees a young, pretty, fantastic. She's changed. When she's going to make dua, either she'll also lift up her hand and say, my beloved husband who never shouted me, who never irritated me, who was always so faithful to me, Allah make him younger. Or she will lift up and say, Allah get rid of this rubbish and give me somebody else better. You made so much dua for her, 1 second and you gone. If everyone's dua had to show exactly what I wanted and you want, this world will be chaos. But if the dua is not going to give what I want, then why must I make dua? So this is the issue. Number one, why will I make dua? I am the slave and he is the master. The master normally does not tell the slave, ask. Rather, the master says to the slave, I ask and you do. Allah is the only master who says to the slave, you ask and I will see what I want to do. But you carry on asking. Dua is a gift. In a normal government, there's not something called dua. The king will say, I'm tired of you asking. Why don't you do what you have to do? Allah is the only king who says, I'm angry that you're not asking. Carry on asking, carry on asking. My duty to Allah to prove my slavery is I will carry on begging. I will not beg because I know whenever I touch the button I must get. Then you don't call me a slave and you don't call Allah the master. Then you call me the boss. In this world I'm not the boss. That is why many come to us and say I got a problem. I say make dua. He says no, no, give me a taweez. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahimullah said, the one who says this, that I want the taweez for my work, and he forgets that dua will get all the work done, he says his relationship with Allah will never be made. The man doesn't want to ask because there's no slavery. He wants a taweez to press a button because he's the boss. He says, I got my 5 taweezes all in my cupboard. A child is sick, bring taweez number 1. Someone is dying, bring number 2. Auntie is giving birth, bring number 3. Anyone making dua? I say, why making dua? I put it on the neck. I'm sleeping. Someone says, is there any problem? Relax, man, the taweez will do the job. The slave doesn't behave like that. The slave puts up his hand and he begs. And he begs. And he begs. And how long will he beg? He will beg until he dies. Because the master said, I enjoy listening to you begging. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the meaning of the word dua accepted. He said, Ayyud du'a'i asma. Which dua is heard the most? Which dua is heard the most? That heard the most is the meaning accepted in the court of Allah. Again, me and you won't understand. What do you mean accepted? You see, my tongue and your tongue is perhaps the filthiest of all the tongues. Even the animal has not said and done what this tongue has done. When this tongue asks, the word that comes out also is not fit to go in a divine court. For the dua to be heard by Allah is no small thing. Ayyud du'a'i asma', which dua is heard the most, means that you are like one ant in the entire universe, and I am that ant, and I am so insignificant and you are so insignificant. And Allah is that being in front of who every angel is in sajda. Every angel is in sajda. And then I lift up my hand and suddenly everything is told, hold on, I'm listening to my servant. Ayyud du'a'i asma'. You want to rise right up to the arsh of Almighty Allah. You want to fly through the skies. You want to one make your one cry here break every barrier. All it means is lift up my hand. When you will understand the power of asma', I am being heard, You will say to be heard by Allah one time is better than the entire world. One time for Allah to hear me. Ayyu du'a'i asma. One person complained to an alim that I'm making so much of dua and crying, but what I want is not happening. He said to him, remember, for Allah to enjoy listening to you crying is much more beneficial for you than you to enjoy seeing the results of your du'as. This is the world to cry, that is the world to see. This is the world to cry. That's the first why I make du'a. Second thing is, Allah is that being that is such a king that although the meaning of du'a was this only, that I want to see if you my slave, carry on asking. So Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam carried on asking. Yusuf alayhi salam was taken away from him. He knew his sons had taken him away. Yusuf alayhi salam was sent to Egypt, bottom of the well, taken out, made a slave. Then he grows up, then he becomes the king of Egypt. How many years must have passed? But Yaqub alayhi salam is still making dua, Allah my Yusuf, Allah my Yusuf. So the one son says to him, oh my father, till today you're going to carry on calling Yusuf, Yusuf. How can you make dua for something that the chapter is closed already? He said, Ashkur basti wa huzni ila Allah, that I will continue crying to my Allah. Then he said, I understand that which you don't understand. What a sentence it was. What was those things he understood? Number one is, I am the slave, my job is to ask. And I will carry on asking till death. If he gives, it is his kindness. If he doesn't give, I will do what I have to do. I will carry on asking. Number two, a man who makes dua, not waiting to see the result, but making dua to say that the only door for me is your door. I will carry on asking. Allah sometimes does not give immediately your Yusuf, but He does give you the strength of Yaqub. Allah does sometimes immediately not give you your Yusuf, your beloved that when doesn't come back tomorrow. But the one who makes dua in the true sense of dua, he doesn't ever get locked with depression. Yaqub alayhi salam said, I understand what you don't. One is, my job is dua. Number two is, it is in dua that I take so much of power from my Allah that the problems of the world do not put me in depression. When today depression hit the whole world, we will say the best medication you can take for problems is dua. But don't ever make dua to take away the problem. Make dua to teach you how to ride the problem. I want to surf over the problem. I want to swim through the problem. Yaqub alayhi salam never got Yusuf alayhi salam back the next day. But it was the barakah of dua, whatever happened around him, he remained Yaqub. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the most difficult of difficult of difficult times. He said, I was tested for Allah like no man has ever been tested. He saw his daughters pass away in front of him. He saw his sons, which every man wants, I want a son. Whenever a son was born to him, the son had to pass away. He saw his best companions martyred in front of him. He saw young children coming and saying, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where is my father? And he had to say that from today I'll be your father. He had to explain to every child, your father died for me. In the battlefield he gave his life for me. He had to tell woman that your husband died for me. To go to a house, one house, two houses, three houses, sometimes when a friend passes away, very close friend, to lift up that phone and to phone the person is like the hardest thing. First sentence we say is, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And just to phone you was hard. Here he had to be talking every day to people. Every day he had to hear a woman crying, a child crying. But how he remained that he could smile throughout the entire. He had the power of connection. With dua you become that fish that can move in that tunnel. Whatever is around you, you go through it like nothing is happening. I make dua because I am Allah's slave. And for him to hear me is more beneficial for me than for me to see what I'm looking for. It's an honor for me that my voice is taken. I make dua because I know with dua comes a lot of spiritual power. It's my shield. I make dua because I know Allah is the king. That although he told me, I'm definitely going to show you your every dua in that world. But in this world, Allah will give me a sample also. This world comes with its sample. What is the sample of dua in this world? One narration mentions, for some individuals, some problem has already been set. It is now coming towards the individual, and he lifts up his hands in dua. Through the blessings of his dua, Almighty Allah sends the dua in the form of a barrier. It falls in front of him and that problem then hits onto it and connects. One narration mentions it remains holding that problem and it will remain till the day of Qiyamah. Why till the day of Qiyamah is when you will see it on that day, perhaps the angel will say, let me show you what your du'as did. And when you will see what problems was supposed to come. Kufr is a major problem. Shirk is a major problem. Pornography is a major problem. Drugs is a major problem. Those that are in this problem use dua to take you out of the problem. But those that are not in the problem, let me and you never ever think I'm not in the problem because I'm good. I am not in the problem because until today something is blocking the problem. That something could be my dua, it could be my mother's and father's dua. You will only understand what dua is doing the day perhaps you start seeing so many problems. And then the man says that as long as my mother was alive, I never saw these problems. You will say, now you know when she was on that musalla in the morning, her duas were for you. Now when the barrier lifted, your business was wonderful, running, fantastic, no problems. And now everything is happening. Lift up the hand again and barriers will start falling. It is with dua you will save your own iman, you will save the iman of your children. Dua is our shield, Quran is our shield. Dua is our power, Quran is our power. The only problem is when we thought of Quran, we thought of only thawab. This is a book of reward. It is the greatest book of reward. But me and you said it's only a book of reward. It's only a holy book. This Quran is the answer for everything. It is my companion, it is my friend, it is my miracle, it is my power. It is what I must be addicted to, it is what I must find enjoyment in. In knowing its meaning, there is Jannah. In not knowing its meaning, but reading it, there is Jannah. In holding it to my heart, there is my protection. When I go in the market, this Quran must be. I have to tell my child, that you are going to school. School has become Jahannam itself. School has become the den of the devil. Forget school, today our own house has become that den. Oh my child, you're going in your room, you're going to put on that computer. Forget the computer, the phone has become the den of the devil. That child, what can I say to the child? Can I monitor his every movement? Can I go back behind him in school? Every day when he comes out, can I ask him, what did the teacher teach you? You think he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you what his friend today told him, what they saw. One thing I can tell my child, oh my child, for your safety and my safety, let me read Quran and you read Quran. Let me make dua, you make dua. Not because I want to see something tomorrow. This is our shields. My Quran is my shield and my dua is my shield. Ramadan is the ideal time to try it, and then may Allah make it, we love it after that. It is the month of these two things,
Quran and dua. Quran and dua. For Quran, I don't have to tell you what to read. You open Quran and you just start reading. Every day you read one page, you read five pages, you read one, five lines. But just say so much. A day cannot go except that I am reading a little Quran. Second, what dua? Dua you will make in English or in Zulu or in French or in any language. Dua you will make it with the tongue moving. Dua you can make it without the tongue moving. But also take out a little time in Ramadan. That those du'as which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. Today because we are living in an era where everything is prepared. So those kitabs are now written. There's no need for me and you now to go and get it and rewrite it. Now you get it on your phone. Now it has been translated into different languages. There are those that have put Monday's du'as, Tuesday's du'as, Wednesday's du'as. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never make this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but they put it. That why don't you make this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? So in 1 week, so many of the du'as that came on the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll also be making it. In the month of Ramadan, you can. There's one kitab, one book called Munajat Maqbool, accepted whispers, accepted calls to Allah. There's a kitab called Al-Hizbul A'zam, that those parts which are unique. There are many kitabs on dua, and the translation comes with it in your own house, whether it's between Asr to Maghrib in Ramadan. Now you're fasting, and the dua of the fasting man is a very well heard dua. So read it. When your children are in front, let everyone lift up their hands, and in English read it. And then they get tired after 3 pages, then end it. And then you continue reading the Arabic or the English and finish Monday for Monday, Tuesday for Tuesday. Let the month of Ramadan pass and you must come out. I will end the bayan on this one narration. That person for who the door of dua has been opened, he has been given it all. That person for who the door of dua has been opened, he has been given it all. The end of Ramadan, may Allah make it, I must be and you must be people of Quran and people of dua. I just love to make dua. We would see Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah. He was different to the normal. Me and you, if someone says make dua, we say inshallah. Because we don't make dua. So it is a inshallah. When someone would say to him, when you make dua, he would get so happy, immediately he lifts up his hand, say, let's make dua. And there you would make dua for 1 minute, 2 minutes. You would go, one hand could not move, so you would just see him going and say, like this. One hand could not move. Another person, as he's walking, another person come and say, when you make dua, immediately, let's make dua. Whether standing, walking, sometimes right at a step, you on one step, say, let's make dua. He had an addiction to make dua. And whenever someone said dua, immediately the body came, let's make dua. Whether we will ever get to that level, but so much at least when Ramadan comes and you ask, what are you doing? The man say, what am I going to say? Let's make dua. At that time, don't say, what must I ask? There's everything to be asked. Everything to be asked. And don't ever get tired of asking just because you're not seeing what you want to see. That dua is giving a lot of things besides. One alim even mentioned so much that there are some individuals that Almighty Allah sees that the door of dua closed upon them. In Allah's mercy to wake them up, Allah gives them one slap, one knock in this world. Because that was the only thing that was going to lift up the lazy hands. Now he starts crying. Had the problem not come, the dua would never have started. Then the question comes that how long are you going to keep him crying? For whatever Allah wanted, that dua, that thing has to reach. And when that dua reaches that, then Almighty Allah will say, the problem which I put on you was to get you where you are, now I'll take away from you. which comes in one narration, that when Allah has written for an individual a certain rank, and with his actions he cannot reach it, then Allah afflicts him either in his body or in his wealth or in his family. And then Allah gives him the ability to be patient. And then with that patience he starts climbing, until when he reaches that position which has been destined for him, either Allah takes him pure, or Allah at that time gives him cure. Either he takes him pure or he gives him his cure. But to get there, there was a need for the sickness. And when that sickness came, the man lifted up his hand and said, Allah, why are you to get sick? This world won't show you that when you will see where you reach, you will say, 1,000 sicknesses I would have gone through. 1,000. We won't go through one. Allah gives that sickness. It's all Allah's gifts, but dua is a gift. If you're not going to make dua when you got good days, then you must know that perhaps you will have to see difficult days to start making us make dua. Rather make dua while you got good days. With Quran and with dua, we will create our shields. With Quran and dua, we will prevent depression. With Quran and dua, we will become the beloved of Allah. With Quran and dua, we will make our life and the lives around people. It is this two miracles that we have been given. Month of Ramadan is the time to try it. Try your du'as and try your Quran. Little du'a, little Quran. Little du'a, little Quran. And at the end of Ramadan, you will have Eid for life. May Allah tabarakala make us all min ahlil Quran. And may Allah make us all min ahlil du'a.
Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.